Welcome back to Innovation on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Kara Hetland, and Dr. K is in our studios in Vermilion. Dr. K, thanks for coming in and spending some time with us today. I appreciate it.
Oh, good afternoon, Kara. It's great to be in your studio.
Well, so where were you the day of the eclipse?
So on Monday, August 21st, I was in Washington, D.C., attending the American Chemical Society fall meeting. And so the American Chemical Society had actually distributed free protective eyeglasses for watching the solar eclipse. And so there were about 10,000 or so chemists from all over the world attending the meeting and also watching this wonderful and amazing sight. Unfortunately, Washington, D.C. was not in the direct path of the total solar eclipse. We had about 81% coverage, but still it was a spectacular sight, and we used our free glasses given by ACS to watch the eclipse safely.
Well, I was driving from Sioux Falls to Rapid City during the eclipse.
Sure.
And I will admit that I snuck a peek and didn't have the glasses.
Okay. Well, I think you don't have
so
any...
So this is for me, right?
Oh,
here.
Sure, absolutely. I hope you did not have any blurry vision or your eyes are perfectly fine.
I'm never going to tell anybody how it is.
Absolutely. So, Kara, I was just looking at the chemical and engineering news, and so I was intrigued by an article that said that chemistry can perhaps explain why you cannot... why you shouldn't stare at the solar eclipse without any protection. And so the popular idea or thought is that essentially the light that emanates from the sun is very intense, and it could actually burn holes in your retina. And so the concept of heat has been used to explain why one should not look at the sun directly with or without the eclipse. And so normally physicists who have great interest in solar eclipse and ophthalmologists, they say that, well, just imagine you're actually having a lens, and you project the sunlight and use the lens, you can burn papers and leaves and etc. And so the eye lens of humans are also, they function in a similar manner. But there's also a chemistry reactions or chemical reactions that can also explain some of the changes that happen to the components of the eye.
And those would be what?
Well, so when you look at the sunlight, we have UV rays, and they're classified into three, UV A, B, and C, depending on the wavelength of light. So, for example, light that is in the wavelength of 315 to 400 nanometers that we cannot see is what is called UVC. Those are not as harmful as UVB, which is a lower wavelength, so that is between 280 nanometers and 315 nanometers. So when we have sunlight hitting our eyes, we have the cornea that forms the external part of the eye, and then there is the eye lens. So the cornea can, for example, it can absorb UVB, and the lens can absorb UVB and UVA radiation. UVB radiations are actually more potent and more damaging both to the skin and to the eye. And essentially what happens is because of the higher intensity of this light, they can cause some damages to the DNA. So essentially what chemists hypothesize is that while heat may also be a contributing factor in damaging the retina and causing blind spots or blurry vision or even blindness in some extreme cases, chemical reactions also have an equally, if not more, important role to play. So what happens, Kara, is that we have these light-sensitive receptors in our eye. They are called rhodopsins, and the rhodopsins has two parts. It has a very interesting a molecule that is called 11-cis-retinal, R-E-T-I-N-A-L, and the A-L at the very end represents a functional group called aldehyde, and that's how A-L comes. And the 11 is the number of carbon chains attached to a main carbon framework. And so once light hits these molecules that are in these rod cells, these 11 cis retinol molecules, they transform into a different form called the transform. The structure of the molecule is the same, it's just the arrangement of the some of the atoms just change. And these trans retinol, it undergoes a series of reactions from the enzymes that are present in the eyes, and it becomes what is called a trans retinol, which is R-E-T-I-N-O-L. The O-L stands for an alcohol group. 11 trans retinol is nothing but vitamin A in our in the eyes, and that's why vitamin A is very essential for very good vision. So what happens is 11 cis retinol becomes 11 trans retinol that through a cascade reactions because of enzymes becomes 11 becomes trans retinol or vitamin A. That in turn goes through a sequence of steps and become 11 cis retinol. So this reaction goes cyclical, it's an iterative reaction, and during these molecules actually trigger signals to the visual cortex of the brain. So this chemical reactions produce an electrical signal, and the optic nerves from the retina take these information and pass it on to the visual cortex of the brain. So this way we can process any object that we see in front of us.
So this is not a burning of the hole, a burning a hole. This is a flash reaction.
Yeah. So now what happens is when an individual looks at the sun for a long duration of time without using protective eye glasses, the 11 cis retinol that absorbs light, it becomes trans retinol. But if one looks at the sun for a long duration of time, a few minutes, this trans retinol does not go back to vitamin A, but rather, because of the intense sunlight, it has a property to absorb this sunlight, and it goes to an excited state. It goes to an excited state that we chemists call a singlet state, in which there is one unpaired electron. But then it does something more devastating in that it goes to a triplet state where the spins are much higher than in a singlet state. And so in this excited triplet state, this process of going from singlet to triplet is called an intersystem crossing. When it goes to the triplet state is when it really, this trans retinol really becomes quite potent in that it reacts with oxygen that is found in the aqueous parts of the eye, and it forms, this oxygen accepts an electron, and it forms what is called a reactive oxygen species. It is a catch-all term for several charged, highly reactive, potent radical species. And these radical species, they react with several organic compounds like lipids, etc., in the eyes, and they oxidize these lipids to molecules that are not easily transportable. In normal circumstances, these lipids and proteins can be easily transformed and transported across the eye, but when this reactive oxygen species reacts with lipids and proteins, they actually form some molecules that are like fatty acids, etc., that are very rigid and that are very worse at transporting nutrients in cells. So when one stares at this eye, at the sunlight for a long time, the formation of these reactive oxygen species is what triggers some of the adverse effects in eyes.
So let me ask you this. So this is the reaction of that bright flash of light. But what happens with continual look at light, like staring at your computer or kids staring at a smart board over a long period of time? Is there a slower process that could cause eye damage from light in general?
Well, so it depends on, the blue light is often that emanates from our portable electronic devices, be it a tablet, a laptop, a smartphone, or computers, is known to trigger a delayed production of melatonin. So, for example, the doctors would always recommend us not to use our portable electronic devices just before going to sleep. And so the effects of this blue light that emanates from these screens cause associated problems with sleep normally. When it comes to eyesight, the recommendation is to use some filters so we can filter out the UV radiation that is coming out from these screens. The intensity of light that comes from many of these sources, they are much less than what comes from the sun. So in terms of the number of watts per square centimeter or meter square, the intensity is much lower. So really, one does not have to worry about getting blind or having blind spots and have a blurry vision, but it does affect the vision. One would notice that, you know, youngsters are wearing glasses at a much younger age in the past few years than our parents used to, and that is a reflection of the use of these, like watching TV and using these devices that emanate some portion of UV light.
So I'm fascinated to just, we have about a minute left, and
sure.
I am curious as to the conversation that your chemistry colleagues and you had as you stood outside and watched the eclipse.
Well, the eclipse in Washington, D.C. was, I think it was about 2:12 p.m. or so. And so, unfortunately, like I said, you know, we did not have a complete obscuration of the sun. It was about 81%. And so, overhearing conversations between the scientists, very often the talk was again as to how, you know, the retina of the eyes could get damaged by the intense heat. Mm-hmm. And that was very interesting to see that chemists also perhaps did not have a full understanding and full picture of why one should not really stare at the sun or the solar eclipse without protection. So there is the concept of heat has been overstated. It is not to say that it may not be a contributing factor, but it's actually these reactive oxygen species that actually causes some damages to the lipids and other fatty acids, chemicals that are found in the eye that have some devastating consequences.
All right, Dr. Kudal, I want to thank you for taking time and coming into the studio and being on the program today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity, Kara.
Ranjit Kudali is a chemistry professor and dean of the USD Graduate Education Program and joins us regularly to discuss the latest in chemistry research around the country.